This is CliffCentral.com.
We're starting the show right now. Stop singing, Sia. We're starting the show right now. Stop that.
Sia sang the whole Beyonce song before this.
Happy Friday.
Out loud. And it was, I actually messaged him. He's sitting right next to me, and I messaged him and I said, pure agony. Please.
Yeah, so Gareth's running a touch late because there's been a cluster something on the highway. So Sia has now basically held us prisoner on the desk here, played a Beyonce song, and sang every word.
I just think it's the perfect way to get your day started.
Stop it. We're quite nice to you. Why do you do this?
This is, you know, just setting up the good energy for Friday morning.
This entire song.
Irreplaceable.
So yeah, this entire song is Beyonce basically saying you ain't worth shit. And is that, no, it's
dread someone.
I have nothing against the song, just Sia.
Hey.
Well, now I feel doubly against it.
Sorry, Leanne, I think you might be mincing your words. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Goodness. Well, welcome to the Friday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show. It is the, hey, happy new
March month. Yeah.
People, it's the 1st of March 2019. It's a Friday, which means it's a new month. It's the end of the week, but also no politics Friday. So we are able to chill and have fun today.
It's no politics Friday, but it is Bachelor Catch-Up Friday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and giggle, Leanne, and then explain yourselves.
Well, when I arrived this morning, Ben took his motorbike helmet off and glanced down at me and said, did you watch The Bachelor?
Yeah, Leanne's like, hi, Ben, how are you doing? Did you watch The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Did he grunt it out?
He did. And unfortunately, I didn't watch it, okay? So he looked so disappointed. I felt like...
Well, I was deflated.
Disappointed in yourself?
I felt like rubbish.
Episode 3, I just thought, you know, interest would be there.
So I said to him, well, what happened? Did you watch? He said, no, I didn't watch.
Okay, I had a good excuse. My parents are here from Riebeek West. They're doing their annual visits, and we had dinner last night, so I wasn't going to say, well, actually, I can't come because The Bachelor's on. I thought about it, but I didn't.
We don't need the excuse.
Well, like, can't you have dinner with the TV on in the background? At least you can glance over at it every so often.
Because, you know, we've got to sit outside because it's a nice evening. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so I'm going to admit I didn't watch it.
No one who can record it for you.
Yeah, but when am I going to watch it? Like, as I go home, I got to go to bed. Then as I wake up, I've got to be here.
Oh, you guys have all of those sleep issues again.
No, I don't have sleep issues. I just need sleep, and I can sleep.
Oh, I'm just fine. I operate on...
So, Sia, you watched it, right? Please.
Yes, I did.
Thank you.
Okay, let's put our money on things, because Gareth is still on his way here. Do you think he watched?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Gonna definitely say no.
It's not much of a bet if we all agree on the same thing.
Can I just say as well, though, that I do have a technical difficulty.
Which is?
I no longer have a decoder to watch TV with. Mm-hmm. I don't know the technical stuff behind it. But I watch on catch up.
As do I.
So what's the technical difficulty? You know you can still watch live.
Can you?
Yeah.
Oh.
On DSTV now you get the live.
Oh. Who knew?
That was the most half-hearted cop-out I've ever heard in my life.
So both excuses are down the drain.
I've got a technical difficulty. I don't care about technology. That's not a difficulty, Leanne. That's an application issue.
You can watch live on your app, and it's also on catch-up. I also watch it on catch-up.
Okay. Well, now I have no excuses.
No. Well, you didn't for a start. Pretty flimsy one. You were flouting there.
So should we do the update now or a little after 7?
A little after 7.
Okay. Let's wait for Gareth because he might surprise us.
Yes.
And
he's coming in here with show notes. He's going, oh, I'm going to go through the whole process. Who got thrown out? Who stayed in? Who fainted?
There are crazier, weirder things that have happened in society. So I'll hold my breath with this one.
So apparently someone fainted again.
Ben, I just said we're going to...
Yeah, yeah, Ben, we're going to
do the show after. It's a throw forward, guys.
Okay.
Like, none of you worked in radio. No, to entice you into the next hour.
Look at
Ben
you.
Said someone fainted. We're still going to listen to the next hour now.
Okay, yes. Someone fainted. There were two private dates.
How many people went home?
Okay.
Three.
Okay. That's a lot. That's enough.
Yeah, that's an hour. Okay. How? Ben, are you literally watching it now? Yeah. What is that playing in the background?
Move
that aside and shut it down.
Okay. All right.
Folks, can I tell you a bit about the bizarre evening I had last night?
Yeah.
So I have this friend who wants to try a meat-free diet.
Okay, and you're vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
Not
is
vegan.
That, is that,
not
vegan, is that yeah. code for actually into chicks?
Leanne, the fact that you laugh at it also just feels like you're condoning his comments. Not happening.
It was a neutral laugh, okay?
No, it's not. So, it is, yeah, meat-free diet as in just no meat.
And yes, that's what we meant.
No innuendos there, just straight up what I mean.
Okay, sure.
And they reached out to me because I, of course, don't eat meat and thinking that she can get some sort of advice from me and also get my perspective on things. And I'm thinking, well, sure, I don't know how much of help I'll be, but okay, whatever you need. And she says, cool, I need you to help me cook and also taste these different things, because if I'm not going to commit to no meat, I need at least something that's worth it.
That's the thing. And you need like a few. You can't just keep having those crumb nuggets.
You need to really know what your background is. Yeah.
So she rocked up to my place with like four different vegetarian and meat substitute varieties.
Yeah.
And then also had to cook. And we had to have all of these four different things. So we had this like massive buffet stuffing our face of these like.
Oh. That was.
Good morning, Karen.
Always has to make an entrance, hey?
Ta-da!
So I ended up having this like evening of this.
Is this the summary of the stories here?
Yeah, but it was just so bizarre. It was these lamb meat-free substitutes. It was these chicken cutlets. It was these patties.
Okay, so the first advice that I can give, even though I am a meat eater,
I should stop being a friend.
Is don't try and replace meat with other those revolting, horrible, rubbery things.
Oh, they're so weird.
Just sawdust and charcoal.
Focus on making tasty meals and forget about trying to have substitute lamb.
I will have to say, though, even though my opinion is quite skewed, given the fact that I haven't tasted meat in like 10 years, some of these meat substitutes really taste like meat.
Mm. Well, they've perfected, they can fool you, but they're still revolting.
Ugh.
Made of hooves and God alone knows what they put in there.
I don't want to know what's in there. There was like a good, we had a piece of lamb substitute. And it really, in my opinion, tasted like lamb. It was this thick and there was this juiciness to it.
Ugh.
And part of the reason why I actually don't eat meat is the fact that I don't like it. I don't like the consistency.
Don't like the juiciness. Yeah.
If I had something in my mouth that tasted like lamb and someone said, but it's not lamb, I'd probably spit it out.
Think, what the hell is it then?
Yeah.
You have to be honest.
You know, would you eat meat if it was grown in a laboratory? Because that does happen.
Well,
let's say it tasted amazing, and I only told you afterwards. Would you be a little bit grossed out? Would you? I mean, Leanne, would you eat it and go,
I wouldn't eat it.
Wouldn't? But guys, there's various reasons why people don't eat the meat. Like, you could be an animal lover or
you just don't like meat.
You just don't. No. Yeah. So there's various reasons behind it. Might be health concerns. There might be all kinds of things. If someone could tell me that I could eat a meat that's good for me and all these kind of things, no animal diet, I would probably sway towards that because in my own stupid way, I would feel better about it. Me too. I'd go for it. But the fact is obviously hypocritical because I eat the meat. So animals do die. Just for my hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
No, I just don't like it. It's never been my thing. It's the it's the lumps of flesh in your mouth, and then you do put some thought into it, and you're
I do go on.
It does.
getting turned on.
Anyway,
here.
All right, message us 0797.
Sexy Friday, yeah. Do go
2090 if you want to message us.
See what happens when you force us not to talk about politics. It's great.
Fantastic.
So, Garrett, did you watch The Bachelor last night?
No, of course not.
Okay.
You all guessed it right. Come on. Stick with your first guess. It's usually the right one. I totally forgot. I'll catch up. What we should do really is, like, we should make Monday the day, because then it's,
No, Gareth, this is the thing. We've got to be current because no one else is doing Bachelor recaps. We've got to be at the forefront
of all
this. That's the
thing. I mean, I Googled The Bachelor this morning so that I could get a summary. There's absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Mm. But Leanne, the second hour here on this very show, there'll be a comprehensive wrap up.
This is great. I'm looking forward to it.
So you're watching it and Ben.
I'll definitely listen.
I do know that the ratings are in, and the first, two episodes really drew in a lot of viewers. It's working for Mnet, and who knew Mnet could be revived by anything?
And also, I see The Bachelor SA crosses 250,000 views on YouTube.
Oh, that's very good. So even on YouTube, maybe it's not on Mnet, maybe it's on YouTube that people are watching it. I know I will.
Let's claim it's all because of us. Yeah.
We'll take credit for that.
And that's a first for a show produced for a pay TV audience in South Africa.
Hmm. Yeah, great.
Wow.
And we'll obviously be updating on the chart here, who's who with the money round.
Yeah.
Got to say, I thought I was the favorite going into this because I have Kelly, Kim, Mbali, Edith, and Shelley.
I still do think you work these around, Ben.
I do have some juicy news.
No, let's get straight
to it. Bachelor related.
Ooh. Okay, go.
So I met someone yesterday who went to...
Is it a man?
Went to school with the Tegan girl, Kerry? Kelly?
Kelly, yeah.
Kelly.
There's a Kerry and a Kelly, so I
don't... The 23-year-old.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
The first single date recipient.
Yes, that one.
Okay.
And apparently it's known. I mean, apparently you can see it on Facebook for yourself.
Oh no.
But she was dating someone for a long time. She has a boyfriend.
I heard the same story over the weekend.
She has a boyfriend and they've been dating for a long time. She entered The Bachelor and got in and she broke up with him.
Oh.
Oh. That's very a girl exciting. Who has her priorities in place.
You think?
Yeah, just dropped the boyfriend like a hot potato.
But also, this is the great thing about The Bachelor. It gives you a great reason to break up with someone who's run its course. How awesome is that? So The Bachelor's changing lives, guys. I keep telling you.
Look,
So what are we? I mean, are we judgy about that? Why is that so juicy? I mean,
look, I personally can't. I'm not in a position to judge anyone's relationship goings on.
No, I agree with you. You're not.
Secondly, it doesn't really bother me, but I saw how it was bothering this 22-year-old who was telling me the story. And I can tell you now, in those circles, they're not enjoying that idea.
Oh, they're like, my God, how could she do that to her boyfriend?
Yeah.
They've got a lot to learn. People break up with each other for very bad reasons a lot of the time. Hey, Come on, is she really surprised?
Yeah, very.
Horrified?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sure she weighed things out. Like, I've been with this guy years.
Well, listen, here's the problem, right? We look at this as entertainment. We will watch it once a week and sometimes less. But these girls and Lee entered the show knowing that for a couple of weeks, maybe even up to a month or two, they were going to be doing a TV show, which means your career gets put on hold. Your whatever other relationships you have, family, friends, you're out of action for like a couple of weeks.
Well, guys, actually way more. Think about it. It takes 2 months to film this whole thing from start to finish. Then it gets screened, okay? But between now and May,
you can't talk about it.
So they don't talk about anything. And
you're basically quarantined.
I mean, you can't be seen like about town
with another man
or kind of, because then it's going to ruin the kind of idea, because they'll go, oh, look, there's that chick from The Bachelor and she's with this other guy. So obviously she didn't.
The point that I'm getting to is it takes a huge chunk out of their lives. They are making a serious commitment to this show and to either A, being famous, B, finding the love of their life, or C, just doing something for fun.
Yeah,
but either way, it's a serious thing. I mean, it's not like there is no way I would do a show like this. There's no way. I don't think any of you would do a show like this
without being. You're not paid, are you?
No,
as a contestant.
No, I think they'll maybe pick up the costs of your, living in the house. You obviously don't have to pay for yourself there. They might be able to, I don't know, pay some kind of stipend or an S&T or whatever it is. But I really don't think it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So the people who are doing this are taking a big risk for whatever the reward might be. I mean, if they think they're going to, get Lee as the reward. Maybe for some of them, that's enough. Maybe being famous is enough.
But that's exactly what it is, Gareth, because it's the first of, like, everyone remember the first season of Big Brother, not so much the other ones because it became so.
Yeah.
So to be on the first Bachelor, and if you go far with this kind of stuff, no matter what you do, there's going to be a benefit to you, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, I also think it's a major risk because television is no longer the powerful thing that it once was.
Yeah, but the thing is, these things are on YouTube. I mean,
but even so, it's not as big a deal as it ever was before because there are so many things that people can watch now, even on YouTube. Why would you go and watch a clip of The Bachelor last night if you can watch the Cash Me Outside, How About That Girl Again? You know, you're competing with everything on earth. You're not just competing with what's on TV. So it's a very risky move. And I would have said maybe 10 years ago, being on Big Brother might have been worth it, because people didn't have a lot of options for entertainment 10 years ago. Mm. Now, the same audience that would have watched those shows in those days are not that excited by this. So although they're crowing about these ratings, I mean, 500,000 views on YouTube?
It's actually 252,000.
You see, that on YouTube, that is a drop in the ocean. That's not a lot of people at all.
Yeah, but it's relative to the markets, though. And I'll go even further to say, The lit culture nowadays, as opposed to 10 years ago, is a much higher currency in being in the spotlight like this, because that's what people really thrive on. That's what they judge people on. In the past, you'd be like, TV, blah, blah, blah. But now you have to have your name in lights with different kind of things.
Yes, but it's also so transitory, right? It lasts 5 minutes and then it's gone. Hmm. And that wasn't the case before. People would be like, oh my God, I'm excited. I'm going to wait a week for this show. And now they're not going to do that. And if they miss it, I'll get it whenever it's on. And then sometimes they do and sometimes they forget. Look at us. Out of four of us, one could watch. Mm. You know, and we're fairly interested in the subject.
That was just a difficult week. I mean, Leanna, difficult week. I wasn't able to watch. Uh-huh. And you need to raise your game, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Actually, someone on the messages said, guys, I agonizingly spent an hour watching The Bachelor and not even Leanne did.
Ooh. Oh, shame. Oh, I'm so sorry.
There's people making sacrifices out here, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's got to do what someone's got
to
do.
I almost wanted to say, I promise I'll watch every other episode, but I didn't say it.
Yeah, but you're thinking it, though.
Quick email. Here's one from Jonathan from London, who says, I'm a long-time listener of the show right from the beginning. You guys do an amazing job keeping the show dynamic. One of the great parts of the show is when the special guests pop in. Bill Cosby, Bill Clinton, Michael Jackson, and so on. Well, the rest of us hate when they pop in.
Yeah, we don't show
the guests. But we don't enjoy them coming, right? Please, could they make a return? Didn't one of them pitch up last week?
Bill Cosby did.
Like Ted Kennedy was on like last week. Yeah. A shout out to Ben and Gord. The highlight of my week is when they get together with some boxing gloves. Anyway, keep up the good work, Jonathan from London. And then Steve says, I've written a book called Does God Have Free Will? I think it'll appeal to Gareth's sense of humor. It is available for free for the next 3 days, and he gives me an address. Kindle reading software for all platforms is also available free of charge.
I read that email, and I read it as Wi-Fi.
So did I.
Please ask Gareth to download it, read it, and then get in touch to arrange an interview. No.
Oh, I'm not.
No. You know what, Steve? Don't send me your book, and now I've got it. I don't have a Kindle, first of all. I read books, and I don't want to read it. Thank you. I'm sure it's terrific, but I don't have time at the moment. I'll get to it when I get to it, if I get to it.
It
otherwise,
just isn't
don't.
Time.
And don't throw in, and I'll have an interview, thanks, too. Like, we're looking for people to interview. Like, I'm trying to fill my day with fucking authors and aspiring writers. How about you win a Pulitzer Prize, and then we'll get you in here.
Yeah,
earn something. Deserve something first.
Get in The Bachelor first.
Anything else you'd like to add there, Gareth?
No.
Okay. This is a delightful Friday, isn't it not?
Well, see, after the start you subjected us to, I think it's going very, very well.
Why is this happening?
What, Gareth, what is going on? Okay.
This machine of mine is giving me shit.
Right. We're just doing a musical chairs.
Gareth comes around the corner, he's looking good, he's getting to the finish line, and there he is.
Isn't this
in
great?
The main seat.
Mm-hmm.
It's great that we can do all of this.
And we don't have to worry about what we... Oh, so, Sia, did you reset the desk here? What the hell's going on?
Well, see, what happens is when he starts singing, the desk goes into panic mode.
Wow.
It goes that into, a, really goes into just, a safe I, setting.
Ben, here's a sporting analogy. I was trying to get the Gers in this team going, so we needed a spirit war cry.
Sia, don't play Beyonce when you want that.
Never mind then.
No.
To try and fail is better than to fail to try.
Yeah.
That's how, today's no, said by Sia.
That's how more obnoxious nice. He is when he wears the Roger outfit.
Yeah. Sia's wearing his dungarees.
Oh,
today.
And his little widow stripe.
He's extra unplayable when he's dressed like Roger.
He's got it done. Sia was running the Cliff Central podcast studio at the Blockchain Africa conference yesterday.
Oh, yes. It was very exciting.
There were a lot of very, very smart people there. I heard them talking in technical terms that I didn't completely understand.
Oh, goodness. If you didn't understand, imagine how I was feeling. I was just catching a keyword every two sentences to gauge and track where I was and what they were discussing.
Well, there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of people. There were a lot of people very interested in blockchain technology and what it could mean. And clearly there was a huge turnout.
Absolutely. Well, explains why.
Are they doing Cape Town still? Or that's still ahead?
Yeah. Explains why they had to do 2 days here in Johannesburg and then they're doing a day in Cape Town. But yeah, we've been chatting about the Blockchain Africa conference. And if you want more information on it, you can actually go onto cliffcentral.com.
All right, quick thing here. This is really interesting. And by the way, don't forget, because it's Friday, George Meany pops in just before 8 o'clock. This pastor, Elf Lukau.
He's the raising of the dead one.
Yeah. He apparently needs to explain his miracle to the public, according to Pastor Mboro, who's just as bad as he is.
Oh, dear.
But not in Mboro's eyes. He's not as bad.
No, in Mboro's eyes, he's like the only true pastor. And this guy, Elf Lukau, has upstaged him now. Now he's upset about it. This is like at school when, you know, you do your show and tell and you pitch up and you think you've got the best show and tell. And then some other kid pitches up with like a drone that can do microsurgery. And you go, oh, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I want to do this again. I also have one of those drones that does microsurgery. Well, that's what – it's children. These are morons, these people. So these two church leaders are having massive strife between the two of them. The church leaders in their colorful robes continue to arrive at the Sandton police station to lay separate complaints.
Oh, my word. What a circus.
About Pastor Elf Lukau. They're all pitching up to say his miracle's not true, but our miracles are. You see, this is
just
in the land of the stupid. So
really?
Bishop Tami Ngana from the Council of African Independent Churches said, Elf Lukau is blasphemous. Thou shalt not take the name of our Lord thy God in vain. Oh. Elf is just doing that. He said his organization is not necessarily against Lukau's church. We cannot close the Church of God, but an individual who believes to be above God himself must face the consequences of South African law. What do you want law to do with him? He's pulling off a show, and he's fooling a lot of really dumb people into believing that what's going on is something supernatural. You're upset you didn't think of it yourself. That's the truth.
The only legal stuff that's even worth looking at here is the funeral parlors who are upset that they use their coffins.
That's
and
right.
They lost out on the client here.
Because I bet you those coffins were returned.
But guys, this is what happens when the traveling circuses of yesteryear are taken away. People used to flock to this, see the bearded woman, the knife swallowers.
I agree with you, Ben.
Dogs running through rings of fire. Now we have to rely on pastors for our hocus pocus. People have a desire for hocus pocus. It's the hocus pocusery theory.
I will go at that point.
All right, so we'll watch this with interest. I mean, all of these lunatics are—they're trying to outdo each other now because they feel upstaged. That's all this is. You don't need more of an explanation. The Western Cape Education Department and the South African Police have confiscated a box of contraband and weapons from learners at a Mitchells Plain school. Jeez. Members of the police conducted a search and seizure operation at Woodland Secondary School. They said the operation was conducted after reports of an increase in drug and weapons at the school. Learners had their hands on their desks and their school bags open while officers searched through their bags.
And they found weapons.
Yeah. So what they got was knives, screwdrivers, dacha, cigarettes.
Because those all go well together.
Yes. She says, this is the Western Cape MEC, Debbie Schaffer. She said that they chose to do the random search at the school because there are infrequent, or rather frequent, incidences of violence and drug abuse. We worked together with Community Safety Department and the SAPS. I never took, did you ever take anything like a knife or a, or a, or dacha to school?
I think I went to the roughest school out of all of you and yeah. I didn't even. I just used my fists.
Good old fists.
Oh, she used to punch people. She was very aggressive at the end. So a big issue at the moment is gangsterism and drugs in that part of the world. So the message to all governing bodies is to make sure that you're requesting police to come in. And the police can do that. I mean, I imagine there would be parents who'd go, oh, you can't do this to my children. But if your children have drugs, yes, we can.
Can I just issue a statement to the youth? Dear the youth.
Yes, Uncle Ben.
There is nothing interesting or worthy of becoming a gangster. Stop buying into this crap like, oh, you look so gangster. Oh, he's like, no, you're a piece of shit if you want to be a gangster. Gangsters die. Gangsters sodomize each other in prison, and gangsters do drugs. You don't want to be a gangster. Stop glamorizing it. The end.
There we go. Thank you, Ben.
Lots of love, Ben.
Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
All right. The mother of a Cape Town pupil who was slapped during an altercation with her Afrikaans teacher has decided to withdraw her daughter from the school. This is interesting.
And everyone went, yay.
You remember that story where the teacher slapped the girl?
Yeah.
So, apparently the decision to withdraw from the school was prompted by concerns for her well-being in the face of the unfair and unlawful treatment she's been subjected to and the extremely hostile environment the school has created for her, according to the Chamber of Legal Students, which has been representing the grade 9 pupil.
When anything big happens at school, you've just got to go up, you've got to uproot and start somewhere else again, anonymously.
Yeah, well,
kids will never forget that.
It just sounds, yeah, it sounds very messy. The prolonged unlawful suspension has effectively deprived the pupil of her right to education. These people charged, it's accused the Provincial Education Department of refusing to step in and protect the learner's constitutional rights. Well, you don't slap a teacher. In such circumstances, the mother has no alternative but to take a child out of the school. It's the best interests of the learner. Department spokesperson Brona Hammond said to News 24 that in terms of regulations, a disciplinary proceeding needed to be conducted within 7 school days after the suspension of the pupil. The total period of suspension of a pupil should not be longer than 21 school days. But in this case, the school applied for a continuation of that suspension. The child's lawyers said the mother had no confidence that the disciplinary hearing would be fair or impartial. Well, pupils and members of the public came out in support of the teacher.
Okay.
Clarissa Fenter, 34, who was captured on video when she slapped the grade 9 pupil after the child shoved her during an altercation over a book. Listen, if I were a teacher, I would be smashing children's faces in.
Oh, dear.
Well, no, I promise you, because if someone pushed me, if I was a teacher and some pupil pushed me because they were raised badly by their parents, Jesus, I would lay into them. That's why I'm not a teacher.
Yeah.
But now the mother's playing big victim. Meanwhile, she's dropping the ball at home.
Well, of course she is.
I know that's why a sweeping statement, but...
No, that's why the kid behaves the way that
going to put two and two together here.
Of course. And Ben, we know how you feel about parents and their lack of duties and lack of responsibilities. Apparently, the M2... Which one's that? The M2 motorway.
That's between town and the east.
Ah, well done. The agency, the Metropolitan, the Joburg Road Agency, says that they need to rehabilitate that highway. And apparently, the cost of doing that is 151 million. They say it will have to demolish sections which have collapsed. Motorists are urged to use alternative routes from Thursday until October when the project's expected to be completed.
Whoa,
that's a long time. The JRA's head of infrastructure said, we'll update our road users on a daily basis in terms of progress. If you don't have anything to do with the inner city or CBD, we urge you to use the M3, N1, M17 and others.
Oh, that's going to be a biggie.
Yeah.
It's a very busy highway.
There are bridges there that need rehabilitation and lots of other things.
And it's also en route to the airport, so it's a biggie.
Bit of a problem. Rami Malek might play a Bond villain. Have you heard about this?
Mm.
Yes. The 37-year-old actor is in advanced negotiations to join 007 star Daniel Craig.
Well, he could just keep the teeth from the previous movie.
Yeah, that would be scary.
Yeah.
Just by the way, is it usual that they would announce the villain?
No, but obviously they're looking for Oscar hype. The guy just won an Oscar, so they're going to just, you know, strap that onto some extra hype.
Previously, it was reported that Rami was being eyed for the role, but shooting conflicted with his drama series, Mr. Robot. However, sources have revealed that Rami's team at WME have successfully negotiated schedules to accommodate both projects, although there's no deal yet. See, the Oscar still gets you work, huh? Mm. Gets you good work. And it's going to be called Bond 25? Using the working title Shatterhand is set to be Craig's fifth and final performance as 007.
Okay, if Ben, the major Bond fan, is laughing at the title, then tell us how you feel, they need to rework it.
Shatterhand.
Tell us how you feel, Ben.
It sounds weird. It sounds funny. It's got the word shat in it.
It's got shat in it, yeah. Or in the shat in his hand.
Yeah.
That movie was so cuck. Shatterhand.
Yeah.
All right, very good. We've got to get to Ben's sport.
Yes, we do.
The bitcoins are... Oh, my God. Where are the bitcoins? I've just lost my bitcoins. They've all...
Everyone else has too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I don't have bitcoin for you this morning. Or Ethereum. It's just completely disappeared from the ticker. So we'll have to leave it. Ben will manage without it, and then so will you. So will everyone else. Should I try and find it?
Whereabouts?
I feel bad. All right, let's just get to Ben's sport. Okay. All right, Ben, what do you have for us?
Yes, so much, Gareth, so much. Nadal, Kyrgios, they had a bit of an altercation. Federer is lining up for his 100th title. Super Rugby, World Rugby, Premier League, and a controversy in the world of bridge. So much. All right, let me simmer down a little bit and let's start with World Rugby.
Okay.
As you can tell by the title, they're involved in rugby on a global scale. But they'd have no idea what's going on. Oh, Ben, stop being so negative. No, I'll tell you what. These dickbags, just like Sanzar, just like the rest of them, they have this whole hard-on for like, oh, we're going to grow the game, we're going to make it global, we're going to do this. So what they want to do is propose a world league. Now, I know the story is not hot for the press, but I don't do sport on Thursdays anymore, so bear with me. So they want to do this World League where the top 12 teams, they all play each other in a calendar year. So that means that South Africa has to play teams like the USA and Japan. How are they going to do that? These two teams are now going to be part of the Rugby Championship. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Their Northern Hemisphere teams have to come down to the Southern Hemisphere teams and play test matches randomly. Now, I don't know if these guys know what geography is. The fact that they know that World Rugby's world is in their name, they should know where these countries are. Fuck far apart from each other. Oh, we're just going to pop down to New Zealand from Ireland this week to go play a test match. Are you off your rocker?
But if you fly around the other way around the globe, you'll probably get there quicker.
No, it's fine, because then we'll just play Australia and then South Africa on the way home. Okay, great. Why don't you just take these guys out, shoot them in their knees and say, there's rugby.
Wow.
It's just stupid, Sia. It's just stupid. It's just mindless. And these people don't understand. Like, rugby is hard. It's so hard. We talked about Pat Lamb the other day, like half becoming a vegetable. He had to stop because of all the concussions, all these different things. So now World Rugby wants to trot out the best players in the world and for them to play all these test matches. It's absolute bollocks. Of course, while sidelining the Pacific Islanders, so they're not part of this whole 12-team elite overplayed workforce. So Fiji, Samoa, Tonga, well, got to go back to just creating extra All Blacks on the side, I guess, or just tackle bags. So this is what it comes down to. World Rugby are telling, oh, this is so great. Everyone's going to be so excited about this because each of these nations stands to earn, this is it, $10 to $14 million a year.
Sure.
So all the administrators who are fresh out of ideas and fresh out of any understanding about what their product is, they're going, oh, this is great. Sign me up. Cool. Okay. So right, what are the players going to do? They're going to burn out. The fans are going to go, there's too much rugby. The whole thing in the last 10 years, World Rugby, listen to this loud and clear, is we don't want more rugby. We just want good rugby. Who would have thought? We want to know players who are running onto this field.
That's so revolutionary.
How about that, hey, Gareth? How about that?
It's amazing.
All we want to do, I mean, we're in the world of craft culture. People are spending more money for Ponzi beer because they want to have quality. We want the same with rugby. We want quality. So just think, with all of this rugby being played, now you got to try shoehorn a Lions series in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the best things. It really is. But now, oh yeah, so we can't really play three tests. We'll just have one Lions test this year. It's an absolute farce, and these guys are not thinking about the game in the future. Little sounds great. Yeah, we're going to have the World League. Ask a guy who's played 3 consecutive test matches week in, week out. What do they feel about that? I mean, I've referenced this before, but Eben Etzebeth, I interviewed him early last year. This guy's what, mid-20s, early 20s mm-hmm. when this happened? He says his body is so sore that Monday morning is like hell for him.
Ooh,
he basically has the muscle memory of what it feels like running out in front of a packed crowd. That's what lifts him. And that's only on the Saturday. So his life is pretty hell. Pretty much a lot of shit from Monday to Friday, and you lift yourself for that match. Now World Rugby wants to trot you out around the world to play all these games? Mm. It's stupid. And Kieran Reid has said as much. Kieran Reid, of course, is the All Black guy, captain. And he said, look, it's just quite simple. We don't want to see, this is his quote, fans want to see meaningful games. They don't want to see fatigued players playing a reduced quality of rugby as part of a money-driven, weakened competition. Well, there we go.
Mm.
So Kieran Reid is an actual rugby player, World Rugby. Maybe reference that when you want to have actual rugby decisions.
Hmm. Ben hitting hard.
I just hate how stupidity always trumps
function.
No, but
it's also greed, Ben. It's greed. They want more and more and more so that they can charge more and more and more.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's this model of this is when accountants take over anything.
Yeah, exactly.
They try to get an ROI, a return on investment.
Yeah, and a pound of flesh.
Yeah. So. And that's what they'll do. They'll reduce every rugby player to just a pound of flesh.
Because
quivering pound of flesh.
And these authorities, they all think, oh, well, there'll be other players playing. Yeah, but nobody wants to go watch the All Blacks if you don't know half the team. Nobody wants to watch the box if you don't know which provinces these guys play for, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Anyway, that's rugby for the weekend. Hurricanes will play the Brumbies 8:35 this morning, followed up by the Rebels versus the Highlanders at 10:45, all South African time, of course. And into Saturday, we've got the Chiefs taking on the Sunwolves 8:35, the Reds versus the Crusaders 10:45, Lions versus the Bulls, the big Trant Yukske Derby. It's one of the things it's called.
Where are they playing?
They are playing in the Johannesburg, the Emirates Airlines Park.
What's that, Ellis Park?
It's otherwise known as the place where the Bachelor had a group date.
Oh, Ellis Park.
Yeah. Wow. So that's at 3:05. And then the Stormers take on the Sharks. And they'll be played in Durban.
Okay.
In Durban. And then the Hagamareth will take on the Blues in Buenos Aires.
Can I help you there?
On to tennis, Leanne. No time. Roger Federer is lining up his 100th title. And if he does it, wow. He had a bit of a scare, however, in the quarterfinals. He took on Martin Fucsovics and only beat him 7-6, 6-4. There was numerous, get this, rain delays in Dubai and swirling winds. But Federer, unfortunately, well, he broke the heart of Fucsovics. He will now go on.
What's Fucsovics' first name?
Martin.
Oh, so if Martin likes Vix, he Martin Fucsovics.
Yeah,
yes,
haven't got,
yes sir, he a Fucsovic, sir.
Probably haven't got too much time for gourd jokes right now, but yes, I get you. So now Federer will now take on Kodic, who beat Basil Havili. And then on the top side of the draw, these are the guys standing in front of him and history. Tsitsipas, he beat Hercules. And then Gael Monfils is the likable Frenchman, the big showman. He's also on that side of the draw. So there we go. The Roger 100. It could be happening. I'd say what's also happening is interesting cricket right now. The Proteas will be taking on Sri Lanka as of this weekend. So 3rd of March, which is what? Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
At Bidvest Wanderers Stadium here in Johannesburg, the greatest ODI venue in all the country. That'll be from 10 o'clock the daytime game. And of course, Faf du Plessis is saying, look, that test series was one of probably the biggest low in his Protea life. So they'll be looking to bounce back, as they say in this one. But also very interesting right now is the West Indies versus England series. Runs aplenty. Love that, aplenty. England scored 418 for 6 in the last match. West Indies gave it a good stab. They got 389, albeit in a losing battle. Now, Chris Gayle, he's loving life right now. He scored 162 off 97 balls with 14 sixes. He went over the 10,000 run mark in ODI cricket, and he's loving it so much he is contemplating playing on. Of course, he was looking to retire after the World Cup, which is happening in May, June, but he might just carry on. England currently leading the series 2-1, and the final match will be played this weekend. And then into golf. It is the Honda Classic this weekend. That's a really big event because it's played at Palm Beach Gardens in Florida. So this is the whole Florida swing of the PGA Tour, and it's got all the big names playing. Currently, Jonathan Vegas, he's -6 at 64. But look at Ernie Els. He's -4, just 2 back. along with a whole bunch of other players. I mean, packed leaderboard here. Brooks Koepka is three back. And he created some headlines this week by saying that he is, well, he's a good enough player now that he can really speak his mind. He says, when you're coming up in the sport, you don't want to say anything or offend anybody, but the guy's won three majors. He's a big deal on tour. So he says, gone are the days of me ever trying to be politically correct. I'm going to speak my mind. I have no fear. My opinions will come out. And that's really great to see. But he gets, it's a very good point how, obviously, when you're trying to prove yourself in sport, you can't do that. In the Premier League this weekend, oh, the match is involved here. First up, Spurs versus Arsenal. But let me first tell you what's happening in the table right now, because ultimately Spurs are fearing that they're going to come back to the pack here, and it's very hotly contested in this fourth place position. So Liverpool and Man City, we all know that's the big title race. Currently Liverpool are 1 point ahead on 69 over City 68, and then you've got Spurs, Arsenal, Man United and Chelsea all vying for that third and fourth position. Currently third, Spurs are in third on 60, Arsenal in fourth on 56, Man United 55, Chelsea 53. We can forget about Chelsea though, because they're going from bad to worse. They've got absolute turmoil in that place right now, so we can get them out of the mix. But Spurs, Arsenal 230, followed by Man United versus Southampton at 5, and then the other big matches to watch out for, Bournemouth are hosting Man City. And then on Sunday, you get to see Everton versus Liverpool. Potential banana skin for Liverpool there. And then Fulham, they'll take on Chelsea. I think Fulham have just given Claudio Ranieri the arse after just like 15 games or even less. Anyway, Claudio Ranieri, he was a god when he won the title for Leicester. Now he basically is battling to find work. Let's go straight to this one. So the big story of the week, Gareth, is world's top bridge player.
Yes.
He goes by
the
name.
This is the game that's played in old age homes, right?
Yes.
That's
correct. So, Leanne, the number one bridge player in the world, Geir Helgemo, wow, has tested positive for banned substances.
Oh, no.
And it will now be suspended.
Oh,
yeah, what? Well, we all feared
like
this.
Steroids,
we all feared this day would come, but he's been suspended after testing positive.
His stool softening medicine. What?
Stop making light of this, guys. We've got to set an example here. He tested positive for synthetic testosterone and clomiphene, a female fertility drug.
Yes. Yes.
He was taking a female fertility drug.
Yeah. I tell you what, and his suspension will only be lifted in November, so his entire bridge year ruined.
But if he...
Absolutely ruined.
If he wants to fall pregnant, that's got nothing to do with bridge.
It's a banned substance, Leanne. You can't be a professional. The World Bridge Federation comes on very strongly on this.
Hold on. This may be 2019 and everything's a go, but you can't say that sentence with a straight face. Because he wants to fall pregnant doesn't mean he can't play bridge. That's not even a sentence in a science fiction novel. Stop it.
It's the truth.
Yeah, well, the World Bridge Federation is having none of it, so he's now being suspended and setting out a big example to the rest. Oh, and finally, Nadal lost to Kyrgios. I was going to bring you the story on the tennis, and he was just saying, yeah, Kyrgios, he's got no respect. That's why he is where he is, because he has no respect for himself, the crowd, or the game. And Kyrgios basically said, well, blow it out your ass, Nadal. I'm different. This is who I am. You pulling your underwear out of your ass every 2 seconds, that's your game. Don't try and shit on mine. Paraphrasing slightly, but that was the sentiment. Oh. So there's beef between those two now. And that is it for your sport on Friday. Jeez, hope I got to jam it all in.
Big helping.
So much.
Huge.
So much.
All right. Said by Sia.
So bizarre. Hey, and then they say millennials can't do anything. Well, a 15-year-old saved a mother and daughter stuck in a car accident all by using Snapchat.
Oh, no.
What a thing to use to say, why not just use your phone to smash the window?
Try and scoff at this. Well, listen up, hold. 38-year-old Gemma Fairweather was driving in the car with her 7-year-old daughter, Martha. This all happened in England earlier this month. And as they were turning in a bend of the road, they were trying to make way for a car that was coming in the opposite direction. And as she was trying to swerve, she ended up losing control of the car and toppling down an embankment. Oh. Thankfully, she missed a few trees on her way down. But this is all happening in the countryside, so there were not like street lights around, and rolled down the embankment to the point where she was stuck right on the edge of a body of water. So, to It was so bad, though, that they literally couldn't move or get out of the car, even though they were fine, because the car could have toppled over into the water, and that could have been even more disastrous. So panicking, they contacted authorities. But once again, because it's in the countryside, there aren't any streetlights, there aren't any signs around. They were just trying to direct authorities to where they are. But this just became a panicked chase. Authorities were going up and down the road, and they couldn't find them, even though they were in pitch darkness, and they were trying to flash their lights, and they were trying to honk. Authorities weren't hearing them. But it was now thanks to Gemma's boyfriend's son, his name is Sam, and 15 years old, who started to think about the fact that Snapchat has a new feature called Snap Map Tool. And the fact that Gemma has Snapchat means that they can share each other locations, which is quite accurate. It goes to exactly
what's
like
the tool called
Snap Map.
So it's a Snapchat Snap Map tool.
yes, that fun. It just rolls off the tongue quite pleasantly, and it's quite accurate. It even goes to a couple of meters away. So Sam, 15 years old, was the one who actually was able to help authorities at the end, saying, "Hold up, stop panicking. I'll be the one to help you out of this."
That's good.
And was able to figure out where Gemma and her 7-year-old daughter Martha were because of Snapchat. At the end of the day, authorities were very grateful for 15-year-old Sam, and found the mother and daughter thankfully fine, and they were actually able to get the car out of the wreckage and also save the mother and daughter duo. It ended up taking 40 minutes for them to find them in the thick of all of the trees and the body of water and.
So they would never have been found.
Like, you know, you think about the fact that they were honking, so making noise, and also flashing their lights, and they still weren't able to be seen. And you think about...
I've done that before in the Jolly Roger. I honked and flashed my lights. No one saw me.
Can you get my teeth out?
How did you get your car in the Jolly Roger?
Leanne, I don't know, but I don't think it's the same, hey?
Oh gosh, Leanne's parked in the bar again.
Just was not the same. But thankfully, both mother and daughter are doing fine after the accident, and it is just another testament to the fact that you never know where you can be of service to someone. Even you, 15-year-old Sam, using Snapchat to save the day.
Do you know what this function is on Snapchat?
No. I don't have Snapchat, so.
No. It's a youth thing, you know?
I liken it, though, to how you can share your location on WhatsApp as well.
Yeah.
So you think about how accurate that can be.
Okay.
So he was able to use the likes on Snapchat.
Okay. Mm.
All right, that's your advice here for this
morning.
Go
with that one.
Very nice.
That's good. Bitcoin is $3,830. And Ethereum 100.
People were hanging on to the end of the hour. He must bring us the Bitcoin.
Someone even sent me their own graphs. Someone even sent the graphs of what it costs. Look at this.
That's from like a year ago.
No, this is this morning. Ben, anything at the Club du Golf ship Chapultepec?
Back to the members this week. Back to the members, unfortunately, this week. Yeah, okay, Club du Golf Chapultepec. But next year, you know, it's a tour favorite. This time next year. What a time again. That would be.
And this is quite a good one. Please, you guys have got to get more involved in The Bachelor. My girlfriend forces me to sit down on a Thursday night and watch. It's a thing now. Well, listen, for a lot of couples.
Second hour, it's coming.
For a lot of couples, this is very exciting. This is a thing that you want to do, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you could end up doing amazing things for your relationship.
I agree.
So some people are very into this, like Clint over here. He says, I've discovered that I'm awfully judgmental of the participants, as if I'd even have a chance with any of them. But I want a review from you guys. Last night's episode was rubbish. That's my two cents. Yeah.
See, gagging for it is the audience.
Yes.
Right. Ben, I don't understand the point you're trying to make in all of this.
Just that this is it. We're becoming authority on this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Leanne was beside herself this morning. She couldn't find an update. So just think what other people are going through.
Shame, poor Leanne.
We are the windows to the world, guys.
All right, well, we've got news. We've got some things that are going on in the world, and we'll talk to you next on 0861-555-189 if you want to get hold of us. You can also message us on 079-748-2090, just like Clint did, and I can read your email or your message or your tweet or whatever it is straight away.
Can I request a song, seeing as Gord got to request the song this week?
Yeah, you can.
It was god-awful.
Oh.
What is it? What do you want?
Gareth, can you play Casio by Jungle?
What?
Casio by Jungle.
Yeah. I sent it to you.
You know what, Ben? I think I can. I'll try to help you.
It's a nice Friday song, Steve.
All right, let's go. Here's Ben's choice for a Friday morning, everybody. Let's go. Are you ready?
This is CliffCentral.com.